Hi everyone, this is episode 5 in How to Be an Urban Camper. My name is Klaatu, and in this episode we're going to be talking about food. How to get food when you're an urban camper. Controversy alert! This episode is going to mention thievery. So if thievery and stealing offends you, then do not listen to all of this episode. So, in previous episodes, we've talked about why you might want to be an urban camper. We've talked about how to find shelter, how to upkeep your personal hygiene, how to organize all of your stuff, and then in this episode, we'll be covering how to find food for yourself. Jumping right into it, a couple of different ways to find food. One would be purchasing it. You can purchase food at stores, at grocery stores primarily, and restaurants. Now obviously this is assuming that you're urban camping for fun and pleasure and profit rather than for out of necessity because you're broke or something like that. If you're urban camping and you're gainfully employed, if you are urban camping and you're employed, you may find that part-time employment is plenty to make ends meet and still have enough left over to treat yourself to meals out at restaurants and things like that on a regular basis. That's kind of an upside of urban camping, is that the money that you're making goes directly back to you, and you can spend it in any way or save it in any way that you want. And that's, I mean, not every time, but the more recent times that I've been urban camping, that's exactly what I've done. I kind of forsook going out to grocery stores, and I would just buy a lot of my food from either like a small marketplace or from just a restaurant, like a, you know, coffee and bagel for breakfast, some kind of sandwich or wrap or vegan meal from like this little vegan cafe that I know of. And I only eat about twice a day, so that was it for me. So you can be a little bit more, I don't know, I consider that extravagant, because previously I didn't really eat out that much. It was very much a lot of cooking for myself. That's kind of cool, kind of fun. It does get old after a while, to be honest, but the vegan cafe that I found, actually, that doesn't get old, because that's really good food and really healthy food. But if you're not around really good restaurants that are also affordable, because, I mean, it's kind of wasteful to just go to, like, a really nice restaurant all the time. I don't even know what I would do in a really nice restaurant, to be honest. So, yeah, I just kind of went to normal places, but places that serve really good food. So, point being, that gets a little bit old after a while, but it can be done if you're urban camping and you're employed. Now, I obviously started out with that one because that's kind of the easiest one, so let's work our way back from that. That's the luxury of being employed and having money for restaurants. Another way of doing it, and this I've done twice now, urban camping and getting a job very intentionally, mind you, that is very food-centric, meaning that you work in a kitchen. Yes, or a restaurant. Those places, they have food all over the place. And typically, not always, mind you, but typically, they're totally fine with you eating food while at work. Now, I say not always, because there are some completely fascist restaurant owners who completely just don't want you to eat their food, and they think that if you even look at a dish and imagine some food on it, they think you're stealing from their bottom line, and they won't allow it. I personally would not work there myself, but, you know, if you do need a job or something, that might be where you're at. But I found jobs that were completely fine with me eating food on the job. More recently, a really great job, and I could eat as much food as I wanted, and in fact, the owner, or the manager rather, was sending me home with fresh fruit all the time. He would just always make sure that I had a lot of food, partly because he's a nice guy, and partly I think because the food would go bad after a while anyway, so someone might as well take it and eat it. So that was really cool. His name was Greg, actually. Good guy, Greg was. That's cool. Now, the other place that I worked was actually a bagel place, and they were okay with you eating, I think you got like one meal per 6-hour shift or something stupid like that. I don't ever listen to them when they say that. I just eat what I want anyway. That's just stupid, I think. But and if you're closing up, you know, if you have that last shift, there's generally stuff that you're going to throw out, so you can just throw that right into your own little plate and eat for free. So that's a really good way of getting free food, is working in a place that serves food. That's a great way to feed yourself. Now, there are also ways of finding free food without getting a food-centric job. One place, of course, every Sunday, if you go to a Krishna temple, you get free food. That's all there is to it. There was one on a Krishna place on, it was near like Venice Beach in LA, where I used to live for a little while, and yeah, free food every Sunday. So you go there for their little worship thing, and you eat, and it's great. The Christian churches don't seem to be that big on serving food for some reason, but if you keep an eye out for events, and sometimes they have them posted on the signs outside of the church. Sometimes you have to kind of really, you have to go there and get one of their pamphlets and see what they've got going on in the next month or whatever. And you can sometimes find events where they're doing like a potluck. They're really big on potlucks. Unfortunately, potlucks a lot of times tend to not be very vegetarian friendly still. So if you're me, that might not work. Or if you're vegetarian, that might not work. So they're not quite as good for the free food. But other community events do exist. And again, the gym that I was a member of actually had, well, still am a member of, I guess. They have a lot of community events. And so if you show up on the right night, or if you keep an eye on the bulletin board and know when to show up exactly, then you might find that free food is right there. And you just kind of integrate yourself with the crowd. I mean, I honestly have no clue as to what these events are. I honestly have no idea. But I do know that I'm fairly unique at those events. But no one really asks questions. I mean, as long as you're friendly, and I guess that's part of the whole social engineering thing, as long as you're friendly and talk to people and are just nice, they don't really mind that you show up to their events. Now, I'm not going to say that will always work. I mean, there might be an event where you try to show up and they ask why you're there and who you are and, you know, stuff like that. But that's never happened to me. Never, ever, ever. So I think that if it's posted on a bulletin board or if it's in a paper, a city paper or something, then you can pretty much show up and get food and no one has a problem with it. Sometimes, and this is much more of a gamble, there are volunteer things that you can do and also get fed. In an ideal world, I think, when you volunteer for some activity, you know, you're doing free work, I think they would also feed you. And in the film world, that's generally the rule of thumb. I mean, if you've got people working on your film, even when you're paying them, you make sure that you feed them. And if you're not paying them, you really make sure you feed them quite well. And that typically gets a lot of, well, the cliche is starving artists, right? So that gets them on your set, mainly for the free food, but they work as well. So and that would be great. And so I'm saying that you could volunteer on things because in theory that there is free food to be had at volunteer events. I have found that does not always hold true, to the point that I have kind of given up on that tactic. I do not really bother with that so much. I almost don't recommend that. But if you find out of a good organization that also happens to be good about feeding you, if you volunteer to work for them at some point, then hey, go for it. A far more reliable thing are art openings. Art gallery, art openings, things like that, they always have food because they want a crowd. They want people to come to their art opening and enjoy themselves. They eat a lot. It's great. The openings are usually free because they want you to go there and create a crowd and make it look really popular. If you go to an art opening, you're probably going to be well fed. Keep that in mind and hunt them down. The added bonus there is that you get to appreciate a lot of typically cool art. It's really fun to go to art openings or art shows. I don't know if you've ever been, but it's really cool. And if you've never been, it's not nearly as pretentious as you might imagine, at least the ones that I always go to. They're very sort of down to earth. There are some people there that are probably in a completely different social class than I am, but that's okay. They don't seem to really be bothered that I'm there, and I'm not really bothered that they're there. And the art openings that I've gone to have really always been a very mixed crowd. So that's kind of cool. And like I say, there's free food, and it's highly enjoyable, really, really enjoyable. So I try to go as many as I can, really, for both the social aspect and the art aspect, as well as the free food. So check that out for sure. That will get you free food, almost guaranteed. I can almost guarantee that if you go to an art opening, you're going to be fed. Another way of getting free food is the kind of popular now dumpster diving tradition. I remember in some New York paper somewhere, I think it was probably the Village Voice, they did this article. You know what, I don't think it was the Village Voice. I think it was like something even more popular than that. I mean, something very mainstream. But there was this article about dumpster diving, about how people would go and find food that was perfectly acceptable to eat, literally in dumpsters, and they would take it home and they would eat that food. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, because the food is very frequently thrown away in bags dedicated to just food trash. I shouldn't even say trash. You know, it's dedicated to food that is being thrown out. So very near expiration date vegetables or bread loaves or whatever. So they're typically together in one single or two bags, and there's no other trash in there. It's just that, quote, trash that they decided that was going to expire and that they needed to get rid of. So those are really good finds. Typically, you're going to find those in the backs of grocery stores and places like that. You're not going to just find it out in any random dumpster. Of course, a dumpster behind a bagel store might render a trash bag full of bagels. And that was a very, very common thing on film shoots to do, is find the bagels that were going to be thrown out and take them to your film shoot for breakfast the next morning, because like I say, you need to feed the people working on your film. So very common places to find good food for free. Now, dumpster diving itself sounds like you're, well, diving into a dumpster. And well, first of all, crawling into a dumpster is never really a great idea, because you don't know what kind of trash is in there, and you probably shouldn't go you know, you should go in well guarded if you're going to literally just look around in the dumpster. What I've done is never that. I tend to, my brand of dumpster diving is to intercept the trash on the way to the dumpster. That's close enough to dumpster diving to me to make it perfectly hardcore and yet a lot more palatable. My people have a saying, and that is, a friend of a grocer never goes hungry. Actually, I just made that up, but I thought it sounded folksy and profound. But anyway, this basically means making friends with the people at your local grocery store or small grocery stores, even better usually. For me, it's Trader Joe's is the chain of little semi-healthy, semi-vegetarian-esque kind of grocer. That's a good saying. And so if you make friends with these people who work at the grocery store, then, or alternately just work there, but that was under that old classification. So you make friends with people who work there, and on their way out to the dumpster, and you're hanging out on the loading dock, they see you, and you say, hey, what do you got? And they say, well, I got this and this and this, and they give it to you, and voila, you've just dumpster dove without having to ever go near a dumpster and never having to actually dive. So that's a really great way to do it. It takes a little bit of social skill. Again, I would call it social engineering. I realize that a lot of people classify social engineering as getting someone to do something that they don't want to do, but I don't think that's correct. I think that you can also just, I mean, befriending people because you know that they might be able to bring you free food. Yes, that is social engineering. It's also just being friendly and very pragmatic, because obviously if that food is going to be thrown away, you may as well take it. And here is where we get into the gray area and the big controversy of theft. So the food, while in the store, is apparently worth $5 a pound, and then once it gets taken by an employee outside of the back door, it has to be the back door apparently, toward the dumpster, then it automatically goes down in value to $0. That is kind of absurd, and I think that food is a right. Just like I think shelter is a right. I do not believe either of those things should be ever considered to be privileges. I don't think they should be things that we as modern human beings need to struggle for. I think that we've reached a point in our development as a species that we can actually provide food and shelter for each and every person in the immediate area. And by the immediate area, I mean certainly in this country, because we're a very, very rich country. And I think that if we dedicated our time and effort to making sure that people had what they needed to have to live a healthy and happy life, then I think everyone in the country would be a lot healthier and a lot happier. So, and I realize that sounds kind of ridiculous, but I'm saying that we dedicate a lot of time and effort to making sure that people are making a lot of money and are running businesses and stuff, but we don't seem to ever dedicate that amount of effort, I mean, and that amount of ingenuity to just the basics, to making sure that people are happy and healthy. The crime rate would go so far down, it would be mind-boggling. I believe that these things are rights. I believe that grocery stores essentially are a product of the capitalistic system that we are all playing by for some inexplicable reason, because it doesn't seem to really help that many people. It seems to really kind of oppress most people. So I'm really not sure what that's all about, but the idea that this loaf of bread that you're going to take from the bread bin out to the dumpster just gets knocked down in value the moment you cross the threshold of the back door toward the dumpster, that seems awfully strange to me. So I've always felt that if you're hungry and that if you go into a grocery store, that you may as well just take whatever you want. I'm not saying be extravagant, although I'm not saying not to be extravagant, although not being extravagant help not getting caught, so you might want to take that into consideration. But just taking the food that you need, that you know that you require to get through the rest of that day, I've got no problem with that. I know a lot of people who have no problem with that. I don't think that it's stealing from farmers. I don't think it's stealing from laborers. I think it's stealing from the lining of the pockets of the owner of that probably very major grocery chain that you've just walked into. And frankly, I think they're probably all doing just fine. I don't think it's going to hurt them that much. So, a couple of things about stealing food and clothes and other essential items. It's very dangerous. It's not a very popular idea that it's acceptable. So, it's one of those things that you should probably do infrequently and with great care. And by infrequently, I mean if you can find any other way of getting food and or clothes or whatever you need, then I would opt for that, because the risk in stealing is very, very, very great. I'm simply saying philosophically, I completely agree with it. I'm not saying that in practice it's the greatest idea ever, because there are two groups of people that you're going to want to watch out for. One group of people are the police. They are hired by a government to make sure that people do not steal things, among other things, but that's one of their main things. So you have to really watch out for them. And the other group of people that you need to watch out for are vigilantes. And I don't mean vigilantes in bat costumes or anything like that. I just mean like the average bored person walking through the parking lot or whatever, who sees you walking out with something that you didn't pay for, or sees a manager yelling after you because you almost got caught by the store management, which would be a very bad thing, and suddenly decides to be the hero and tackle you to the and pull you to the ground and make sure that you are apprehended. So when you're stealing things, just there's not a single soul on your side. No one wants to agree that you had a right to do that. No one will agree. No one's going to help you. You're on your own. It's really a really, really risky thing to do. Just FYI. If you're going to steal, you need to make sure that you're aware of a lot of different things. You need to be very well versed on security systems in stores. You need to know if cameras are present. You have to assume that if a camera is present, it is on. You need to assume that if they get a still frame of you appearing to place something in your backpack or your pocket, then that's going to be evidence enough for them to sue you, take you to court, whatever. You need to know about the different kinds of sensors at the store doorways or wherever they might be. Sometimes they're in front of the cash register, or at the end of the cash register line. So be aware of those things. You need to really get well-versed in all that stuff. If you're stealing not food but clothes, then you also would probably want to start getting really well versed in all the different ways they have of tagging clothes with anti-theft devices. So there are just so many wonderful ways to really get yourself into trouble if you go around stealing, even though I fully, completely agree with the idea of stealing. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I think it's a great example of how society is completely capitalizing on the essentials that people absolutely need, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. Making away with these things for free is kind of nice, but it's just really, really dangerous. And I can't overstate how serious people are about catching people who steal and really running them through just all kinds of legal processes. They are not kidding about it. You're messing with their money, essentially. And if you know a human being and their attachment with money, then you know how angry they're going to get. They are absolutely furious if you steal and they see you stealing. They will try to apprehend you. They will manhandle you. Even if their store insurance policy says that they're supposed to let you go, they will absolutely try to tackle you. They will yell at you. They will accuse you. They will call the police. The police will side on the business owner's side. There's just no way around it. You're screwed if you get caught. So don't get caught or don't do it. There are lots of other ways to get the things that you need for either really, really cheap or for free. So this would be an absolute last resort. Yeah, that's about all I've got to say about stealing. And that's about all I think I've got on the whole food issue, aside from the very good idea of barter. So bartering would be an activity where you might get food in exchange for something else. So if you've got a talent and someone else has a love for cooking, then you might find that you could really help each other. So if you've got computer lessons for someone who just loves to cook and loves to feed people, I mean, there are people like that who really, that's their art, that's their passion. And so they would love to feed people, and a lot of times if it's a single person or just two people, then cooking for themselves, adding one person to that group isn't really that big of a deal. So you can barter with them and say, hey, you know, for a meal, I will teach you, you know, how to use the internets or something like that, and you can get some free food that way too. As has been often the case, I guess, in this whole mini-series, a mixture of all the different ideas that I'm presenting here is kind of ultimately the way to make it work best. So I wouldn't say to simply try to barter all the time for food, because I don't think you're going to be eating all that often if you do that. But a little bit of dumpster diving mixed in with a little bit of bartering mixed in with some free meals here and there from different establishments mixed in with some purchased food, that kind of thing, that might be the way to really make food easier to come by without a whole lot of money. And then, of course, if you've got money, you're kind of set, and you can either buy the food from a grocery store, or you can just go to restaurants and eat food there. So I hope this has helped and been informative, and next time we'll talk about money, actually, getting money as an urban camper. Stay tuned for that.
Johnny Jones was a first-class private in the Army last year. Now he's back to business in his father's place. Sunday night I saw him with a smiling face. When I asked him why he felt so happy, Johnny chuckled with me. I've got the guy who used to be my captain working for me. He wanted work, so I made him a clerk in my father's factory. And by, I'm going to have him wrapped in work. Up to his brow, I make him open the office every morning at 8. Then I come around about 4 hours late. Everything comes to those who wait. I've got my captain working for me now. He's not worth what I have to pay him, but I'll never complain. I've agreed to give him $50 per. It's worth twice as much to hear him call me sir. While I sit in my cozy little office, he's outside working hard. Out in the hall, at my beck and call, with a feather duster standing on guard. I've got the guy who used to be my captain working for me. He wanted work, so I made him a clerk in my father's factory. And by, I'm gonna have him wrapped in work up to his brow. When I come into the office, he gets up on his feet. Stands at attention and gives me his seat. Who was it said? Revenge is sweet. I've got my captain working for me now.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio, sponsored in part by Caro.net. So head on over to Caro.net for all your hosting needs.